Okay, well, what about this? I'm a good Christian, and you Baha'is believe that all the religions are true. I'm a good Christian. Don't bother me. I'm happy being a good Christian. Isn't it? If you Baha'is believe all the religions are true, why should I become a Baha'i? Why should I investigate the Baha'i faith? That also is a fireside stopper. I mean, that tends to leave the Baha'is sputtering a bit, oftentimes. Okay, well, let's see what the Bible has to say to this question.
The Christians must test the spirits to see if they are God's teachings, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God, we find in 1 John. Therefore, a Christian is commanded to test the spirit of Baha'u'llah's teachings. Jesus gives the test instructions to see whether spirits are of God. My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If any man's will is to do his will, he shall know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking from my own authority. He who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Baha'u'llah's teachings and life clearly show that he did not seek his own glory, but only God's glory, as among other things Baha'u'llah gave up all his earthly wealth and position of power to serve God.
So Christ gives the instructions on how you know someone is true. Baha'u'llah does not seek his own glory. He gave up a life of privilege, of social status, of great wealth. For what? Years of imprisonment, abject poverty, torture, poisoning, the suffering of his family. There was nothing in it for him. And did he seek his own glory? No. Did he seek the glory of the Father? Most assuredly, yes. So Christ says you must test the spirits. The New Testament says you must test the spirits. And here is the test by which you can test the spirits. We're going to go to number B, and here's the second test that Christ gives.
Also, Christ says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. This is from 1 John. Baha'u'llah refers to Jesus as the Christ.
Okay, number two, David.
Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. First Thessalonians. Christians are here instructed to prove all things so as not to quench the spirit or miss the fulfillment of prophecy. Also in Luke chapter 21 we find, watch at all times, praying that you may stand before the Son of Man.
Okay, watch at all times. That's the commandment. Test the spirits. Quench not the Spirit. Prove all things.
The word may, of course, implies that the Christians must prayerfully consider the claim of Baha'u'llah and that recognition of the return is not automatic. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, we find, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Therefore, if Christians are not watching at all times and testing the spirits, proving all things, then they are not doing the will of the Father and are in jeopardy of not entering the kingdom.
So why should you investigate the Baha'i faith, my fellow believer in Christ? Because the Bible, the Word of God, says so. Because you're supposed to. All right? That's what the Bible instructs you to do. So there's a wonderful answer to that question. Okay, now friends, we're going to move towards the concluding sections of the class. And we're going to talk about the proofs of Baha'u'llah. Now, I've started this section out with some things that I do. Again, you can improve upon these materials yourself. But here's some thoughts for you. Oftentimes, as the Baha'i community, because we come, for the most part, from liberal Protestant background, some agnostic, some atheist, from a more liberal persuasion than most of the population of the United States, we tend to present the faith from that background. And sometimes we kind of undermine the credibility of the Bible and so forth and so on. We bring a lot of baggage with us that has nothing to do with the Baha'i teachings, as we have found as we've gone through this class. One thing Christians can teach us very profoundly is their testimony of what Jesus the Christ has done in their life. Christians are very used to talking in very personal terms about their religion, about their faith. Do they not? I know the Lord. I talk with the Lord. Every aspect of my life has been changed. How many times as Baha'is do we do that? We don't. But what's the point? What is the proof? What is the overwhelming proof of the faith? Is the change that happens in the Baha'i community. One thing and only one thing will unfailingly and alone secure the undoubted triumph of this sacred cause, namely to the extent to which our own inner life and private character mirror forth those manifold aspects, the splendor of those eternal principles proclaimed by Baha'u'llah. It's the change in our life. So is it not a most powerful thing to do to say, the proof of Baha'u'llah is in me and is in my life. Come look at my Baha'i community. What does the House of Justice say in the Promise of World Peace? They offer the Baha'i community as a model, right? And we are a tremendous model. We are nice people. We are. Put the community on display. Use the community as a teaching tool. This is what we're hearing from the National Spiritual Assembly and so forth. All right, well, dear friends, a powerful thing to do at a fireside is to say, how many Baha'is in the room know Christ, know Jesus the Christ better, more fully, more completely by becoming a Baha'i? How many? Every hand in the room goes up. And many Baha'is will say, I never knew Jesus till I became a Baha'i. That is a powerful, powerful testimony for a fellow believer in Christ. All these Baha'is, they say they know Christ, and they know Him better because they have become a Baha'i. And look at this community. It's a roughly even cross-section of humanity. It's every race, every spectrum, every flavor of humanity is represented in that Baha'i community. They're raising themselves by their bootstraps. This is a third world community for the most part. And the meek shall inherit the earth. This is the evidence of the power of Christ. Look at these Baha'is. So, I would encourage the consideration of the personal testimony of what Baha'u'llah has done in your life, how you know Christ better, and how your Baha'i community is operating on those very same spiritual truths that Jesus the Christ taught and that you hold dearest of dear. That is a powerful testimony. I want in on this. I want to tell me some more. I'm interested now. We're talking the Word of God. We're talking the belief in Jesus the Christ. Baha'u'llah is Christ. Christ is Baha'u'llah. Is that not what Baha'u'llah does in the Aghan? That's exactly what Baha'u'llah does in the Aghan. Is that how Abdu'l-Bahá taught in the West? That's exactly how Abdu'l-Bahá taught in the West. One other great theme. Abdu'l-Bahá talks constantly in his talks. You read them yourself. He talks constantly about the suffering of Baha'u'llah. You know, we were doing that statement, you know, David, raise yourself up. And there's nothing in it for you. It's going to be abject suffering, abject poverty. That's what Baha'u'llah went through. What other purpose could there have been than the serving of the Lord, of God the Father? We don't teach like this. I'm sure there are exceptions. I know there are exceptions. But in general, we conduct a very intellectual discussion of the affairs of the world and how the Baha'i Faith solve it. It's not bad. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying there's another element that we are missing that the Christian community can teach us by their example. It is powerful. It is wonderful. We need that flavor in our teaching work. Because Abdu'l-Bahá modeled it for us. Okay. So, now I'm going to skip that first section on page 65. In the interest of time, I've summed it up for you. But I would conclude this testimony, your individual testimony, and the example of the pointing out the example of the Baha'i community, by pointing out and saying that the proofs of Baha'u'llah are in the Bible. Let us turn to the Bible. The Bible is our friend. It's the Word of God. Let us turn to the Bible and examine what are the proofs for the return of Christ. Okay? We can have a discussion and a dialogue. The Christian is going to want to say, you're not Christian. You Baha'is, you're not Christian. Christ is greater than Baha'u'llah. Really, let us turn to the Bible and see what the proofs are for the return of Christ. Now, what we're going to find, these under Roman numeral number 1, we're going to start with the proofs of Baha'u'llah as the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Counselor. In the Greek, this term is called Paraclete. And Christ gives, in these references, they're in John, the ones I'm going to give you anyway, Gospel of John, Christ lays out the biblical criteria for what the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, that He will send. I go away, another will come. The Comforter will come. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of Truth, will come. He gives the biblical criteria for what the Spirit of Truth is going to do. Let's test Baha'u'llah by the Word of God. Go ahead. Roman numeral number 1, David.
Proofs for Baha'u'llah as the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, and the Counselor, as referenced in John 14, John 15, and John 16. First of all, to testify of Christ and glorify His station.
Here's one criteria. The Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Counselor, is going to testify of Christ and glorify His station. Does Baha'u'llah do that?
Yes.
Let's read and see what Baha'u'llah says.
Say, this is the one who glorified the Son and hath exalted His cause. Say, verily He hath testified of me, and I do testify of Him.
That's the voice of the Lord. Who else makes claims like that? I mean, people claim to be God and they're in the loony bin. But are they writing this kind of scripture? That's the voice of God. Okay, let's go on. Second criteria.
Teach and declare the message of Christ and bring all things to the remembrance of the Christians. Say, this is the one who glorified the Son and hath exalted His cause. Our belief in regard to Christ is exactly what is recorded in the New Testament. And the essence of religion is to testify unto that which the Lord hath revealed and follow that which He hath ordained in His mighty book.
Okay, third criteria.
To guide the Christians into all truth. Baha'u'llah says, the Comforter whose advent all scriptures have promised is now come that He may reveal unto you all knowledge and wisdom.
So there's the claim, unmistakable claim by Baha'u'llah. Fourth criteria Christ gives.
To tell the Christians of things yet to come, and this is capsulized in the prophecies of Baha'u'llah on page 71.
It's 71 of this handbook. In other words, we're going to look at some prophecies Baha'u'llah has made that have come true. Okay? Fifth criteria.
To speak only by the authority of God. Verily, He who is the Spirit of Truth has come to guide you unto all truth. He speaketh not as prompted by His own self, but as bidden by Him who is the all-knowing, the all-wise.
Okay, sixth criteria.
To be sent from the Father. Not of my own volition have I revealed myself, but God of His own choosing hath manifested me. This is from the Epistle to the Son of the Wolf, page 11.
Number G.
To convict the world of sin, righteousness and judgment, as referenced in John 16. Kitab Yigan Baha'u'llah says, so great is the folly and perversity of the people that they have turned their face toward their own thoughts and desires and have turned their back upon the knowledge and the will of God.
Now, is that judgment or what? Okay, it's stronger. This is loving Baha'u'llah. Number 2 on the top of page 67.
From the hidden words. Though immersed in the ocean of misbelief, yet with your lips ye profess the one true faith of God. Him whom I abhor ye have loved, and of my foe ye made a friend.
Okay, of my foe ye have made a friend. Racism, war, violence, disharmony, disunity, all the prejudices.
Notwithstanding this, ye walk on my earth complacent and self-satisfied, heedless that my earth is weary of you, and everything within it shunneth you.
You can understand this literally. Look at the pollution. Look at the destruction of our environment.
And from Gleanings, page 76, such has been the perversity of men and their transgressions. So grievous hath been the trials that have afflicted the prophets of God and their chosen ones, that all mankind deserveth to be tormented and to perish.
Now, this is stern judgment, just as Christ said so. Baha'u'llah says, this thing is not, he writes to Shah, O Shah, I was but a man like you, asleep on my couch, when lo, all that hath been and all that will be was wafted over me. This thing is not from me. Okay, so on each and every one of these, almost in biblical language, Baha'u'llah fulfills each and every one of the criteria given by Christ Himself. Now, I've done this, and a not infrequent question from a Christian is to say, now, where did Baha'u'llah study Christianity? What graduate school? Was it a seminary exactly? That's really because it matches up so beautifully on each of these criteria. Now, what was the nature of education in the time of Baha'u'llah in Iran? What was it? It was reading the Quran. You learned how to write. You learned how to do vocabulary. You just went to the school and they taught you Quran. You memorized it, wrote it down, practiced your handwriting. That was it. There was no Christianity 101 in the life of Baha'u'llah. Baha'u'llah says to his enemies and those who attack him, come watch me. Come watch the revelation of God as it happens. The verses would stream from his pen. The Kitab Yigan is written in 2 days and 2 nights. Not over 3 or 4 years like David Young assembling these notes and editing and correcting the typos and all that sort of thing. No, this comes all at one time. And beads of sweat come on his forehead, and those around cannot bear to watch his face. This is a mystical thing. This is not something that is heavily edited and studied and assembled over time. It comes all at once, and Baha'u'llah offers it as a proof to those who doubt his station. Come watch the revelation of God happen. Okay? All right. Now, Roman numeral number 2 on page 67. I've just selected some of the prophecies that we could look at. Again, prophecy is a secondary proof. Okay? If a prophecy is fulfilled, does it mean that it's cause and effect? Let's say that any of these prophecies are fulfilled. Could it be by coincidence? It's possible. It's possible. It's a secondary proof. But for many Christians, it is a powerful proof. So, okay. Page 67, Roman numeral number 2. Look at how precise these prophecies are.
Some prophecies referring to the second coming that have been fulfilled by Baha'u'llah. The place of his coming. In Isaiah chapter 35, Carmel and the plain of Sharon shall see him.
Okay, Carmel and the plain of Sharon. Where, we all know where Carmel is, Mount Carmel. Where's the plain of Sharon? It's at the foot of Mount Carmel. It's at the foot of Mount Carmel. The plain of Sharon shall see him. And if you drop down to number D, That's the further extension of that quote from Isaiah. Go ahead, David.
And his name is Glory of the Lord.
Okay, so it says that the plain of Sharon and Carmel shall see the glory of the Lord. Extremely specific. What does Baha'u'llah's name mean?
Glory
of the Lord. Glory of the God. Okay, go ahead. B, David?
Also references where he comes from in Ezekiel 43 and Micah 7, from Assyria and the fortified cities and from the way of the east.
Where is Assyria? It's the Middle East. Okay. Some people would say, oh, it's Iraq. Well, that's okay too, because he comes from Baghdad. He's banished from Baghdad because of his growing power and influence. The Persian government wants him farther from Iran. Okay?
References how he would come as a thief in the night in 2 Peter and unexpectedly in Matthew 24. The time of his coming, prophecy of Daniel explained in some answered questions, to be 1844.
It's a long explanation, but as you know, it's in some answered questions, and it's 1844. That's right.
Some less specific accompanying events, the gospel be preached throughout the world in Matthew 24, that there would be wars and rumors of wars in Mark 13, and terrible troubles in Daniel 12.
Okay, so in oppression will envelop the earth. That's the sense of it, okay? And what's the greatest oppression? Not knowing where to turn for the word of God. Okay. And then finally, number G.
Prophecies are referenced in both Thief in the Night and The Wine of Astonishment by Bill Sears.
Now, I have a general comment. With prophecy, tying it to literal events, how are we to understand the scriptures? Spiritually, symbolically. Okay. So, if we get too much tied into the game, so to speak, of trying to find literal correlates for each and every one of the prophecies, this becomes an unending challenge. Because somebody will say, well, how do you know it was the flood of 1512 in Portugal that there was the specific flood? And what about this earthquake? Earthquakes have been happening. It's something like there's several earthquakes a day, if you follow the Richter scale. There's earthquakes happening. How do you know it was this particular one surrounding the execution of the Bab and the earthquake that occurred right at the time the Bab was executed? I'm a Christian, you see, and I'm from that mindset. I'm asking these questions. How do you know it was these literal events fulfilled that particular prophecy? Maybe it's going to be earthquakes into the future. Do you see the problem? Okay, so I think it's useful. But it does have some inherent difficulties in going about finding literal correlates for prophecy. Miracle and prophecy, we're told in the Agog, are secondary proofs. Okay, now, Roman numeral number 3, page 67.
The Bible gives a test as to who is of God. In 1 John we find, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God.
Okay, we've kind of referred to these just moments ago. But anyway, the point of it is that Baha'u'llah fulfills the criteria for knowing that Baha'u'llah is of God. All right. So let's go ahead and deal with Roman numeral number 4 on page 68.
Proof that Baha'u'llah's teaching is from God as he seeks only God's glory. My doctrine is not my own, but his who sent me. If any man's will is to do his will, he shall know whether the teaching is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true.
Okay, this is Christ again, saying that you can know a true doctrine because the person teaching seeks the glory of God and not his own glory, right? Now let's listen to what Baha'u'llah says.
Verily, he who is the Spirit of truth is come to guide you unto all truth. He speaketh not as prompted by his own self, but as bidden by him who is the all-knowing, the all-wise. Not of my own volition have I revealed myself, but God of his own choosing hath manifested me. The fact that abasement in the path of God is my true glory.
Abasement in the path of God is my true glory. This is Baha'u'llah.
The glory of all greatness belongeth to God, the incomparable, the all-compelling.
Okay, number B, David.
Baha'u'llah gave up a life of great wealth in the noble class of Persia to declare his teaching, and a sinless, self-sacrificing life of torture, banishment, and imprisonment that included abject poverty and poisonings. Baha'u'llah's will specified, earthly treasures we have not bequeathed, nor have we added such cares as they entail, as he had nothing to distribute to his heirs in world goods. We verily have come for your sakes and have borne the misfortunes of the world for your salvation.
Dear friends, let us conclude this section. We'll come back and deal with the final group of proofs by just my referring you to page 71. And in this section, we have Baha'u'llah, we have some of the prophecies that Baha'u'llah has given regarding what will happen to those kings who defied his summons. He wrote, as we know, to the kings of the earth of that time. And he said, I summon you. Napoleon threw the tablet behind his back. Before there was time for the response, the news of this response to have been received by Baha'u'llah, Baha'u'llah writes the second tablet to Napoleon and says, this preeminent warrior, this force that could not be opposed on Europe at the time, for what you have done, your kingdom will be taken from you. All right? So here, and Baha'u'llah says, the banks of the Rhine, I hear not once, but twice, the moaning of the Rhine. So World War I, World War II. These are some, just some of the prophecies Baha'u'llah has made. But they stand out as they're recent, and the Christian will be familiar with their fulfillment. Baha'u'llah says, we have laid bare the divine mysteries, and in most explicit language, foretold future events, that neither the doubts of the faithless, nor the denials of the froward, nor the whisperings of the heedless may keep back the seekers after truth from the source of the light of the one true God. Though the prophecies he in unmistakable language hath made fulfilled. So Baha'u'llah is saying that he has made explicit prophecies as one of the proofs of his mission.